can't tell if the chemistry's good by looking at it. It wasn't clear yesterday. For the last time, the saltwater pool is a chlorine pool.
This is the Talking Pools Podcast with pool pros from every region in the country. If it happens in a pool, you'll hear about it here. Everything from tips and hacks to the latest tricks and trends. Breaking news, we lay it on the line. We tell it like it is because we think you deserve to know.
Good Thursday, everyone. Hi, this is Wayne Ivasich of Talking Pools Podcast Group, or talkingpools.com, or talkingpools@gmail.com. Yeah, it's been a while since I recorded something. I've recorded a few episodes before I went on vacation, and that's what I'm going to talk about today. My wife and I had the opportunity to travel to the Philippines for an extended vacation. We went with a group of about 16, 17 people, one of which was my daughter. And the woman who headed the group is actually from the Philippines, has family there. And her husband, her three kids, their respective partners in life, and a few other friends all decided, what the hell, we'll go to the Philippines with you. And we left on February 27th. And after 23 hours in the air, finally landed in Manila on the 29th of February. We went to, we were in Manila for 4 days, and then we visited. Some of you who have ever been there might recognize things like El Nido, El Cebu, Damaguete, things of those areas. And had a ball and visited a lot of beaches and did a lot of snorkeling and ate a lot of Filipino food, and yes, I did it. I ate crickets. I figured I traveled 9,000 miles, not to be a little bit unsubtle, but I thought, I try. The worst you could do is throw up, right? Well, ladies and gentlemen, if you've never tried crickets, don't worry about it because they have really no taste and they're very crunchy. And they're dead, of course, when you eat them. But apparently it's a Filipino delicacy. And I couldn't say no to the hosts that were there that day. It's like a great big family dinner kind of thing. Think of it like a Filipino buffet. It was pretty amazing. But other than the food, which I tend to talk about a lot, we went and visited or stayed at a number of different hotels. I think five hotels over the course of the three weeks that we were gone, all of which had a pool. A pool. And I have to admit, I was very leery about, pools. I always am, period. But especially international, because you never really know what it is they're going to be like. I mean, it's a big, great big question mark. Sorry, my microphone's clearer now for you. So the first hotel that we went to, very nice hotel. They had behind the hotel, they had a large, I would say probably 60 to 80,000 gallon pool. The tile was dark, so it was tough to kind of see things. And I'm thinking, okay, let's do the four senses. Don't taste the water. Look at everything else. And I couldn't find anything wrong. So I thought, okay, this boy's going to get in the water and see what happens. Well, the water was warm, first of all, warmer than I had thought. It was probably like in the 85 degree range. Very comfortable. And the pool was incredibly clean. Kind of really surprised me. I couldn't tell what they were using as a sanitizer, though. The water didn't have a chlorine kind of smell to it. You know what I'm talking about. I know they don't use bromine because it's very expensive. To begin with, but even more so when you're talking international. So I'm not quite sure what they were using. I eventually did find out that they were using a saltwater system that they had just installed like 3 months earlier. And the water is kept fairly clean. I didn't see any streaking, any pitting, any corrosion, that kind of thing. So that kind of surprised me. Next hotel was pretty much the same thing. In fact, I'll be honest with you, all the hotels that we stayed at, the pools were absolutely gorgeous and very well maintained. I remember seeing in the morning when I had my coffee, my third or fourth cup probably that morning, I would see somebody out there, you know, netting and scrubbing the walls and, you know, doing, you know, normal everyday daily pool maintenance, which really, really surprised me. And I got to talking to one of the maintenance people at a resort that we had stayed at for a couple of nights. And I asked the gentleman who's working in the pool, you know, what he used. And they use sodium hypochlorite, this particular resort. And I explained to him my background and what I do right now, and that I would definitely mention them. It was the Turtle Bay Resort. That's what it was. What was he say? Toads. Turtle Bay Resort. I think it was LC Boob. Don't remember really, but yeah. Anyhow, you know, they feed sodium hypochlorite. He said it's easy for them to get it there. And they are actually, they were considering manufacturing it on site. You can do that, but be careful. But other than that, the pool was absolutely crystal clear. No visible issues. The only thing that I saw on that particular pool was the steps leading down into the pool. The top of the step was very rough, like somebody had chipped off all the tile and then left all the grout and the gunite underneath. It was rough to step on. But that was the only negative that I saw in this particular resort. Now, it was right next to the ocean, so I know you're going to get saltwater, ocean water issues and humidity and corrosion, things like that. But didn't really see it except for the steps. So, we lucked out, I guess, with all the pools.
The mobile WaterLink SpinTouch allows pool and spa professionals the ability to test water in the field. A patented WaterLink Spin reagent disc is used with the innovative photometer to measure 10 different tests in just 60 seconds. That's right, just 60 seconds, and you'll have results displayed simultaneously on the photometer's touchscreen. That's not all. You also have the ability to send the data through Bluetooth into a smartphone or a tablet device. The photometer can measure free chlorine, bromine, total chlorine, combined chlorine, pH, alkalinity, hardness, cyanuric acid, copper, iron, phosphate, borate, biguanide shock, and salt. The water analysis can be proactive since they are able to measure all of these important tests and recommend correct procedures to fix their water chemistry issues when using our WaterLink Solutions Pro software program. It allows pool and spa analysts the best way to achieve precise results. So simple, anyone can use it. This is the most advanced system for precise use of wet chemistry methods ever produced. Pool and spa analysts can achieve precision without time-consuming tests or cleanup procedures. This groundbreaking analysis system is so simple, no vials to fill, no prep time, no guessing. To learn more about this innovative lab, visit www.waterlinkspintouch.com. Again, www.waterlinkspintouch.com.
The only little, I won't say problem, more of an incident, was when we visited Red Rock Hot Springs in Domaguet. That's the name of the area. It was about an hour drive north of where we were staying. And it's a series of four hot springs, natural hot springs that are warmed by a volcano that produces steam and all, whatever. So I thought, okay, this is different. I never really experienced this other than one time in Costa Rica 20 years ago. I thought, you know, I'll give it a shot, give it an experiment. And with the hot springs, they don't treat the water. They zero. No, they pretty much just constantly keep it full and use the geothermal presence to warm the water. Well, I got in and along with everybody else in the party, and I immediately noticed the smell of metals in the water. And I thought, okay, this is interesting. Well, it's from hot natural hot springs. Okay, yeah, they don't take out metals. Okay, I get it, get it, get it. So I stayed in the water, and water temperature was around 100 Fahrenheit. Comfortably warm. Let me rephrase it, comfortably hot. And when I got out of the hot spring to dry off, I noticed that my bathing suit was stained with copper stains. The copper level probably exceeded, and this is my best get, probably 3-4, probably higher, 5 or 6 parts per million, and stained my suit. Well, it didn't ruin the suit, but not all the stains came out. Wound up getting another one, but that was one of the hazards that they don't tell you about on these places. Because of the high metal content, you can't get stained. Now, it's not for all fabrics. It's only for some. I don't know, don't remember what my suit was made of, but it wasn't cotton or polyester. It might have been a blend. I don't know. It did stain. And so we were able to wash a lot of it out, but I did get a replacement suit for it. But the hot springs itself was an interesting experience, I have to say that. So after the hot springs, what did we do? Well, we got back to Manila. And Manila, if you've never been there, it's like New York on steroids. High-rise buildings all over the place. It's spread out. It's beautiful at night. The lights of the buildings lit up and things like that. But the one thing that I learned about in Manila and driving, I did not drive. Okay, we used vans and drivers and things like that for all of us. Is that the lane lines, traffic lights, and traffic signs are merely a suggestion. I developed something called vehicular anxiety because I sat in the front of the van 90% of the time, and I could see how close these cars get to each other, how they ignore lane lines, how they pass cars in the fast lane going in the other lane's direction right at you. Tons of motor scooters that kind of squeeze themselves in between cars at stop signs and lights when they are paid attention to. Think of Tetris, trying to fit all the blocks in the right spots. It was pretty nerve-wracking. And I thought, okay, this is where I'm going to die. But it's amazing because you never see any accidents and no fender benders, no scooters running into each other or running into other vehicles. They all kind of know what to do, which really surprised me, thank God. But the whole transportation situation there was just, oh my God, such headaches. But it was a beautiful country. People were beautiful, very friendly, very helpful. And one of the neat things they have over there is that they really treat their senior citizens very, very well, above and beyond what you would expect, something that we don't see here in the States. If you're over 65 and you live in the Philippines, you get a card, kind of like a Medicare card, but for a different purpose. And what you do is you get 20% off of anything you buy, anything, food, clothing, whatever, it doesn't matter, 20% off right off the bat with this card. And even though we were foreigners in the Philippines, most of the places we went to accepted our driver's licenses, my wife's and mine, from Maryland, and because it had our date of birth on there in our photo, which we thought was neat. But what was even neater was there are separate lines for disabled, handicapped, and senior citizens at things like grocery stores, pharmacies, their Dunkin' Donuts there, that kind of thing, completely separate. So that you don't have to wait in line with everybody else. And I thought that was pretty cool. You don't see that in the States. You should, but you don't. And just the diversity of the whole culture was amazing. It really was something that, I had never experienced before. I'd never been to the Asia area before. You don't really count Australia. I've been there a couple times. The only negative about the whole trip, and it's just in my mind and not a real negative, was the flights. instead of flying out of Baltimore, we flew out of Dulles. And going over to Manila, we went east. So we went over the Atlantic, Europe, you know, Middle East kind of thing. So we flew from Dulles to Abu Dhabi. That was 8.5 hours. Had an 8-hour layover in Abu Dhabi. And then it was almost 13 hours from Abu Dhabi to Manila, plus a day. So February 28th, it will never exist for me. And then coming home, we went from Manila to Doha, which is in Qatar. That was a 14-hour flight. And then from Doha to Dulles, it was like another 13 or 14 hours. I'm so sick of airplanes right now. I don't want to see another airport for years, quite honestly. But the travel over there, and of course we didn't fly business class because that's horribly expensive. We did fly premium economy, which gave us some more leg room. But, you know, you can't get comfortable on airline seats. You know that. You can't fall asleep. So that was something that I basically endured. My butt was very sore, still is, from sitting for that long. But, you know, despite the air travel, just visiting the country itself was pretty amazing. Just to see how other people live and to see how recreational water is treated in those areas and how well-maintained, surprisingly so, they are. In fact, I'll be honest with you and say that the pools that we were that we either utilized or saw in the Philippines was better maintained than some of the pools I saw when I was in Sydney and Brisbane in Australia, which kind of surprised me very much. But yeah, they take great pride in what they do and how they relate to foreigners, how they showed us incredible levels of respect and helpfulness. They went out of their way. I just was very pleased and excited to experience something like that. You don't get that if you go to Europe. If you've ever been there, you don't get that if you go to when I went to Australia. But here, it was different, completely different. If you ever get the opportunity to do some traveling out of the States, and even into Canada or Mexico, take a look at, and you're at a resort or a hotel, take a look at how they maintain their pools and spas. And that'll give you a good idea about how important it is for the area, the people who work there, how important it is for them to maintain the systems well, so that their customers are happy and safe. Very, very, very pleased. Kind of moving on to a slightly different topic, but kind of sort of somewhat related. While I was out, we left February 27th. We got back home Thursday, March. Where's my March calendar? March. We got home the 21st of March in the afternoon. So I've had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. This is my 6th day home, and I'm finally over my jet lag, number one. But during the time that I was gone, I know there was a podcast with Rudy and Andrea and talking about natural pools. And there was a hotel. We did not stay at this hotel, but there was a hotel that boasted, marketed, whatever you want to use, a natural pool. Now, I'm sorry, but I'm not a big fan. Come right out and say it. I don't care about the repercussions, but I'm not a fan of natural pools. I don't recommend people getting in them. Somebody I remember one time asked me, well, what kind of chlorine do you use in a natural pool? Well, you don't. That's why it's called a natural pool. Okay, you don't use anything. And I remember him saying, ooh. And that's kind of my reaction, like, ooh. So I'm sure there'll be more discussion on on natural pools down the road. Anyhow, they do exist. They are around. I know they're a little bit more popular in Europe, from what I can remember, than they are here on our side of the pond. And I'm just going to leave it like that. That's pretty much it that I have for today. As always, if you have any ideas on topics you would like any of us to talk about, please send them over to talkingpools@gmail.com, and we'll take a look at it. And if it's something interesting and you want to share with everybody, we'll send you a little thank you present. And again, that's also another way to get a hold of me. If you have any comments or things you would like me to touch base on, just go ahead and pop over an email to us. We might actually here on Thursdays be getting a new co-host with me. That's still in the works a little bit, and see how that can pan out. And if that happens, it's probably going to happen next week. So we'll be able to have some more voices, some more opinions, some more input into our lives in the pool and spa industry. It's a crazy ride. Even being retired, I thought, hey, you know, you're going to back off. You're not going to be doing much of anything. Boy, was I wrong. I think I'm more busy now than I was, retired than I was when I was actually working, which is an odd thing to say. But I guess it's a good busy kind of busy. I like what I'm doing. Because I'm able to talk about things that I wasn't able to talk about before and stuff like that. So now I'm rambling, so I got to stop. everybody, it's great being back home. Yay, USA, go USA. Please be safe out there. One last thing I wanted to mention. For those of you who remember, I live about 30 miles northeast of Baltimore. And yesterday morning at 1:30, you may have seen on the news, the Francis Scott Key Bridge collapsed after one of its support pillars was hit by not a runaway cargo freighter, but a freighter that had lost its power and slammed right into a support column, and the bridge collapsed. You probably have seen video about it if you watched the news last night or on Facebook or wherever you catch your news. It's a pretty impressive, in a bad way, video. And as far as damage, I mean, the thing has to be completely replaced, and it could take a decade to have it replaced. And what the Francis Scott Key Bridge did was connect the circle we call the Beltway, I-695, that goes around Baltimore. And it's also a lot of people use that, particularly the large trucks that can't go into the two underwater tunnels we have underneath the harbor. They would have to use the bridge, but now they can't. So now they got to go the long way around the Beltway to get to 95 north and south. It's also going to do a number to the local economy, because you can't get cargo ships in and out of there until all the debris is removed and the channel's cleared. We have two cruise ship companies, Norwalk Caribbean and Carnival, that go in and out of Baltimore, but not anymore. Royal Caribbean has already stated that they're going to move their Baltimore operations to Norfolk. Carnival hasn't announced anything yet, at least that I've seen at 11:30 in the morning here. It's pretty devastating. A couple people, 8 people were missing. They found 2 of them alive. They still haven't found the other 6. Now it's a recovery effort rather than a rescue. The water temperature there is like 47, 48 degrees, very cold. So it's doubtful that they survived. It's very lucky, if you want to use that word, that there weren't more people killed, because if you look at the video of the bridge collapse, you can see cars going over the bridge within 30 seconds of it going down. It's pretty intense. So, but again, I've had people contact me. Are you okay? Are you okay? Yeah, I'm fine. I'm far away from it, but it's going to hurt the local economy big time. So, if you could, keep in your thoughts and prayers and whatnot for the families of the people who lost someone in the bridge collapse. Thank God it wasn't more, but still, you know, six is six that shouldn't have happened. So, with that, Debbie Downer kind of comment, I'm going to leave you today. Again, talkingpools@gmail.com, best way to get a hold of us. See you guys next week. Be safe out there. Bye-bye.
Just wanted to take a minute to say thank you for listening today. I'm hoping you enjoyed the episode as much as we enjoyed putting it together for you. Listen, it's been a couple of wacky, crazy, screwed up years from pandemic to Poolmageddon. I just want you to know that we are all in this together. If there's anything that we can do for you, send me an email at talkingpools@gmail.com. Again, that's talkingpools@gmail.com. We're here. This is your podcast. We are the Pool People's Podcast, of the Pool People, for the Pool People, by the Pool People's Podcast. This one is about you. So thank you for tuning in and listening. Do me a favor, click subscribe before you go. That way you don't miss an episode.